everyone, and welcome back to Raya Affairs. My name is Francia Morales, and I'll be your host for this episode. Raya is a youth-led international think tank that translates the abstract world of international affairs by simplifying rather than generalizing. Raya is a place where you come to learn about the stories and worries of political leaders, the behind-the-scenes of decision-makers, and how politics impacts and changes your life. This is Raya Affairs, filling you in wherever you are. As always, I'd like to give a disclaimer saying that expressed opinions in this episode are welcome, even though they are not a direct reflection of Raya, as we specialize in unbiased writing. Today's episode is very special because we will be talking about Giorgia Meloni, who is the Prime Minister of Italy. We'll be talking with none other than Nicola Minaia, the author of this article and the upcoming host of Raya Affairs. Hello, Nicola. Would you like to introduce yourself really quick?
Hello, Francia. Thank you for the introduction. I'm really happy to be here. It's my first episode as a guest on the podcast, and I'm really excited about it. Can't wait to get started.
Very nice. It's also very nice to have you here. I'm particularly excited about getting to know our little dynamic before the baton officially passes on to you. But before we begin this very grilling interview about your article, I have a question for you. I was wondering, since I already asked you the question about what leader you would like to have dinner with, I wanted to ask you today that if you could be the dictator of one country, which country would it be, and what would you do with your newfound power?
Wow, this is a crazy question. I thought the other one was difficult. This one is way more difficult. But since we are talking about Italy today, and since Italy is my country, I would choose my country. So I would be the dictator of Italy. And yeah, there's mainly two things I'd like to do. The first one is to introduce a minimum salary in my country, because it's crazy that we are, I think, the only European country, and if not the only one, like maybe there's us and some, like another one, that we don't have a minimum salary. So that would be a thing, absolutely. And the second one, I actually don't know how, but I'd like to find a way to increase birth rates, because we are getting older and older. I think we are one of the most of the eldest countries in the world. I think there's only Japan who has an older population than Italy. And that, I think it's really important, because then this, it reflects on Italian politics. We're always talking about pension reforms, almost never about young generations. And we have a crisis regarding young generations and young graduates leaving the country to go working abroad, because there's a lack of opportunities for young people in Italy right now. So these two things are probably the first two I would do as the new Italian dictator.
Those are very noble pursuits for a dictator, I must say. I think I would take maybe a bit more of a selfish advantage of being a dictator, but at the same time, one never really knows what they would do. I thought if I were the dictator of Mexico, my country, there's not much that I feel like I could do that I wouldn't be able to do if I weren't the dictator. I don't think I want to take advantage of that many people. But thank you for your answer. It was rather interesting. And again, humbling because they're so noble. And with that mood, we're going into the official questions about your article. So you wrote an article about Giorgia Meloni and her Mattei plan. So for our listeners who do not know, Giorgia Meloni is the Prime Minister of Italy. She became Prime Minister 2 years ago in 2022. Before that, she was a member of the Chamber of Deputies, which is the lower chamber of the Italian Parliament. But she has led the Fratelli d'Italia party since 2014 and is also the president of the European Conservatives and Reformist Party since 2020. And this party, as well as Fratelli d'Italia, are kind of conservative, and particularly the European Party is what's described as soft Eurosceptic, with a focus on reforming the EU towards EU realism. She's had a long political career before this that goes back to the 90s, so she's been pretty involved in She's been pretty invested in Italian politics. So one thing we cannot say is that she doesn't have some sort of stake involved in making sure that what she believes comes to light in the country. But these are all really fun facts that I can give our listeners. According to you, Nicola, who is Giorgia Meloni?
Yeah, that is, I think, the most difficult question to answer right now, apart from the fact that being Italian and Giorgia Meloni being a prime minister of Italy, it's quite difficult for me to judge her from an impartial, objective viewpoint. Also considering the fact that my personal political values and ideas are quite far from hers. But still, I will try my best. I think she has shown us so many faces during her long political career. You can find articles defining her a neo-fascist, articles defining her just like a right conservative. So it's really difficult to put her, to give her a label. I think maybe for those who followed her only in the last 2 years since she became prime minister, probably she's representing herself as a conservative, perfectly in line with the, let's say, the classic right in European politics. Of course, for those who followed her during her long political career, it's difficult to forget, let's say, her youth and the type of involvement she had in politics in the first years of her career, especially her being part of the youth section of the Movimento Sociale Italiano, which is basically a neo-fascist party born in the 40s and disappeared only in 1995. So really difficult to answer this question. I think that to summarize her long political career, the best term would be she's a perfect example of political entrepreneurship. She was always able to position herself according to the political moment she was living, but never, let's say, always, as she would say, remaining coherent to her values and to her political base. So it doesn't matter if you agree with her values or not. I think it is an objective thing to say that she is a really capable politician, a politician by profession, a long career in Italian politics. She knows the rule of the game. And I think that she has made a wonderful job in pursuing her personal political interests, always being able to use different rhetorics, different registers based on the audience she was speaking to. So, for example, we can hear her in institutional settings presenting herself as a moderate leader, but at the same time, when she speaks to her political base in Italy or even like in other countries, when she went to Spain to speak to at the Vox political conference, you could hear also the let's say hard right and far right ideals and values that I don't think she forgot. Maybe a lot of people forgot that. I don't think she did.
All right. I think that's a very clear picture. And you're right. As an outsider, I also perceive that she always makes sure to let everyone know that she's there, if she's somewhere. And that actually reminds me of the NATO summit last week in Washington, D.C., where you could very clearly see that she was the smallest woman in the room, the smallest person in the room, and seeing her walk up to the president of the United States looked a bit comical, but very nice, because she's so short, but she was wearing this fantastic pantsuit, like a set, and then afterwards, when they posted the photo of all of the leaders on the little stands, you could barely see her. You couldn't see her in the photo because everyone's taller than her. And yet everyone, I think everyone was aware of her presence. And I think she does that where she goes. So now that we know who she is, Nicola, can you tell us what is the Mattei plan that you write about in your article?
Yes, of course. And so as I write in the article, the Mattei plan at the moment is still an idea to reshape Italian foreign policy towards the African continent and to influence European foreign policy in the African continent. The initiative is very ambitious. The project has many different facets. And so I would say the two most important ones, as I write in the article, are the energy and immigration. Of course, on paper, the project involves also infrastructure investments, investments in health, social services, in the economy of African countries. But I would say that the two main aspects of the plan are energy and immigration. Meaning what? Meaning that following the Russian invasion of Ukraine, a lot of different European countries, and especially Italy and Germany, found themselves in an energy crisis. Most of the energy supplies came from Russia. So the, this kind of renewed attention towards the African continent, I think, has one of the main reasons and motives in the energy crisis. So the fact that Meloni, but also many other European leaders, saw in the African continent the new kind of pool of resources for energy for their countries. And we could see this in many agreements signed by the Meloni government with Tunisia, Algeria, and Libya. But that is not the only aspect of the plan. As we said, immigration plays an important role as well. In this regard, Meloni and her government are particularly invested in this mission, let's say, because for their electorate, immigration is a big issue, is an important issue. It's probably one of the main reasons she won the elections in 2022. So she needs to give an answer to her electorate. And in this regard, I would say that the Mattei plan is mainly aiming at limiting irregular immigration, but at least on paper, using a new kind of approach. And this is particularly interesting, I think, because up until a couple of years ago, the immigration crisis, as it was called, it has always been treated like an emergency situation. So with emergency policies to fight it. And I think that what was missing is the structural part of it, meaning that immigration is not an emergency, is not a temporary crisis, but it's a phenomenon that is going on since many years and will not stop. We saw it with the previous policies, which didn't work because it didn't address the structural factors behind it. And the Mattei plan is particularly interesting because, at least on paper, is aiming exactly at those structural factors. So intervene in the country of origin with investments in development, in social services, health, in education, and etc. Trying to make it, let's say, less needed for people to emigrate and to escape from their country.
As you mentioned just now, the war in Ukraine has created a huge focal point for European foreign policy. And for other European leaders, the same goes for the Hamas-Israeli war. But Meloni has recently talked about Russian and Chinese threats in Africa. And as we can see, the Mattei plan is overall focused in the African continent. If there are those two focal points, or most importantly, the Ukrainian war, why is Meloni looking towards Africa?
I think she realized that Italian national interests are not in Ukraine, but mainly in the African continent and in what is happening closer to the Italian shores, particularly in the Mediterranean Sea. I think that this is not to say that what is happening in Ukraine has not an impact in Italy, because I think it is pretty clear that it is having an impact on the whole world and especially on the whole European continent. But I think that what Meloni realized is that there was a need for a shift in Italian foreign policy, and there was a need to focus more attention on the African continent and to, let's say, restore the centrality of the Mediterranean Sea in the Italian foreign policy. I think this was the main reason. And on this particular matter, it is interesting to see how she's actually the first leader in Italy since many years who put forward this view. For many, many years, Italian foreign policy has been focused on trying to catch up with the European partners, always looking north, looking at Central Europe, on what was happening in France, in Germany, in Eastern Europe, etc. And I think that the Mediterranean region, North Africa, and in general the African continent, didn't receive so much attention. And I have to give credit to her, because I think that this shift was needed in Italian foreign policy. And in general, for the European continent, it is really, really important to give more attention to what is happening in the African continent and trying to build collaboration with African countries. I think Europe in the future cannot really think to survive without having some kind of collaboration with the African countries, especially North Africa and the Sahel region, as we will see later.
During the elections 2 years ago, several popular newspapers in Europe called Meloni a threat to the European Union, as you said, branding her as a fascist. An article in the news section of The Guardian, which I was surprised to find it in the news section and not in the opinion section, but an article in the news section of The Guardian referred to her as a, quote, danger to Italy and the rest of Europe. But now, as you pointed out in your article, top European officials are endorsing her foreign policy and in particular assisted the Italy-Africa summit to support her. What has changed in the last 2 years?
So I think this is at least in part linked to what we have discussed before about Meloni as a political figure. So her capacity to always play on different fields and being able to use different rhetorics, different political registers to address different situations. So I think one part of what has changed is her, like, Giorgia Meloni, as a political leader, she was able to represent herself in a different way and to be, let's say, accepted and more appreciated in institutional settings at the European level. Another part of it is probably that the European approach towards the African continent itself has changed, and probably European politics has changed in general. I think that the last European elections reflected this change, but it was pretty obvious even before, seeing the rise of different, let's call them, right-wing parties with strong nationalist ideas in a lot of European countries. So I think that there are two different parts to this, to the answer to this question. One is her ability to change the representation of herself, to making it more moderate and acceptable to other European leaders. And the other part is the fact that the European approach has changed itself. So with her becoming also the president of the European Conservatives and in general assuming a more central role in European politics, I think many other leaders realized the importance of having good relations with her, and then like kind of shifted towards her approach to foreign policy, especially in the African continent.
Great. So you mentioned just now and in your answers earlier that Meloni definitely has this interest to play probably a central role both in national and European politics. She also is insistent on certain super goals, for example, like shifting the foreign policy of Italy, and maybe even shifting the foreign policy of Europe as well. So how will the Mattei plan help her achieve those goals?
So I think that, as we said before, one of the main goals of the Mattei plan is to, make Italy, in her own words, make Italy a new energy hub for Europe. So this idea of making her country kind of indispensable for other European countries to receive their energy supplies. I think that the Mattei plan, especially all those agreements signed with different North African countries regarding energy supplies, can help her achieve this objective. Regarding immigration, it would probably be more difficult. Immigration is not something you can solve on paper with agreements. It has a human aspect to it, and I think that there are still a lot of question marks regarding her approach to immigration, the respect for human rights, and all that concerned the life of the migrants crossing the Mediterranean Sea. In particular, the approach adopted by Meloni and apparently endorsed by European top officials, this idea of processing asylum requests outside of Italian territory and outside of European territory. And in this regard, an agreement was signed between Italy and Albania to build some kind of detention centers on Albanian territory to process the asylum requests. But this goes hand in hand with what Sunak, the ex-prime minister of the UK, wanted to do with Rwanda. So in general, this approach seems to be the approach the European Union is taking with regard to illegal immigration. Will it be successful? I don't know. And I think that it's probably more complicated than this. One thing I would do if I was Giorgia Meloni is not only worrying about not letting them arrive to Italian territory, but, for example, instead of criticizing the work of NGOs who saved the life of migrants in the Mediterranean Sea, maybe start to take some responsibility on that and using, for example, the coastal guard ships, the Guardia di Finanza ships, and being responsible for the life of those who wants to cross the Mediterranean and wants to arrive to European territory and Italian territory, because obviously you cannot let them die in the Mediterranean Sea and you cannot then criticize the work of others who are basically doing what you should do. So I think that this would be my advice to Giorgia Meloni regarding the immigration issue. But despite this, I think that still the Mattei plan has it's a good starting point. I think it has some good ideas in it. And in general, the idea to shift the approach, to change the approach from an emergency one, the idea that we have to solve the crisis right now, to something more structural, more long period, and trying to address more the root causes of immigration in the African continent. I think this is a good step forward to a better approach regarding the immigration topic.
So given this point that you brought up, is Meloni playing part of the bad cop in Europe while other centrists or progressive reap the rewards of her being the face of maybe less popular policy that, as you say, might establish a much more long-term plan for issues like this in Europe? Or are we seeing European politics overall move towards a more conservative, quote-unquote, realist approach?
So my personal opinion is definitely the latter. So European politics is changing. Meloni is not playing the part of the bad cop. I think if she's playing the part of the bad cop, there are many bad cops in European politics. But I think it's European politics itself that is moving more towards a more conservative, let's say, realist approach. And I think the reasons are to search in the in what is happening in the world right now. So we have a war in Ukraine, what is happening with Gaza and Israel, and in general, a more more insecurity in international politics. The role of the United States is changing. They are living some kind of an internal crisis. They really don't want to play the World Cup anymore. And I think European leaders are feeling and are sensing these changes. And kind of like insecurity is a fertile ground for, let's call them, more conservative, realist approaches, especially towards foreign policy. So I think this is a general tendency that we can see in many European countries. But I also don't think that this is new. I don't think this is new. I think that in all these leaders, and including Meloni, talk about changing Europe, bringing the European of sovereign nations. I think we already have a Europe of sovereign nations, and especially regarding matters like foreign policy, defense policy, all those things that are at the core of what Europe should be. They are not really there. They are still in the hands of the different countries, part of the European Union. And so what Meloni was hoping to have was already there. And I think she is the perfect representation of what Europe is today, and unfortunately, probably what will be also tomorrow.
What obstacles do you think Meloni will face as she implements the Mattei plan?
So as I mentioned in the article, I think the main obstacle she will face, and she's probably already facing, is the presence of other powers in the African continent, especially Russia and Turkey, but also China. As you also mentioned before, she spoke about it at the NATO summit in Washington, D.C. And I think this is still today the main obstacle to her objectives. Especially in North Africa. In the article I wrote about the Libya example. So in Libya, the situation is particularly fragile since many years, since 2011, when we had the foreign intervention eliminating Libyan dictator Gaddafi. And since then, we have had a country basically divided in two. We have the Tripoli administration, backed by most of the European countries, including Italy itself, and Turkey. And then we have the administration in Benghazi, with its leader, General Haftar, backed by Russia and France. So the situation in Libya is particularly fragile, and Libya is a pivotal country in Meloni's project, in the Mattei plan. So I think that in order to achieve her objectives, the main obstacle she will have to overtake is the presence of these foreign powers pursuing their interest in the African continent. We saw this not only in North Africa, but also in the Sahel region, where the recent developments with many different coups d'etat in many different countries brought new administrations and kind of a realignment away from their traditional alliance with France and more towards an alliance with Russia and China. So these developments, I think they play a crucial role, and they are the main obstacle to Meloni's Mattei plan, but they're not probably the only one. I think there is also a domestic component to it, meaning that the Italian public change ideas pretty fast, and they tend to forget pretty fast what happened in the past. So if she will not, I think, if she will not show the results of this new policy in a reasonable amount of time, it will be difficult for her to stay in power and to pursue their objectives in the long run. So I think this is another obstacle she will have to face. And what what these two obstacles have in common, I think, is that they show Meloni and Italy the reality, which is that they cannot pursue these great objectives alone. What is needed is the ability to transform the Mattei plan from an Italian initiative to a European initiative, where you have a true synergy between all the European countries, especially those involved in Mediterranean politics, and I mean especially France. I think that a better dialogue with the French administration is needed, as well as with Turkey. Turkey is another really important country who plays a crucial role in Mediterranean politics. And Meloni probably knows that she cannot really go so far without having some kind of constructive dialogue with her Mediterranean partners, especially France and Turkey.
Earlier, you've mentioned a few times that Meloni is, in a way, a representation of where Europe might be headed. But you do make the caveat that this is contingent upon the fact that her plans actually deliver results, or the results that she has promised. It might start in Italy, where she may lose domestic support if these things don't come about, but then this might obviously trickle to a larger European audience, where people will say, okay, these didn't work the way we wanted them to, and so we're going to swing back to maybe voting more liberal, more progressive, etc. In the way that you see the next years going, can we expect this trend to continue? Do you think these policies will outlast her first term, and that she will outlast her first term?
I think that this is definitely a possibility. I mean, nothing is set for the future, and everything could happen. But my personal opinion is that this is probably the direction where Europe is headed and Italy is headed for the next years. I don't really see, at least at the domestic level, I don't really see an alternative to her at the moment. She's kind of uncontested, not meaning that there are different actors, opposition parties contesting her, but there is not really a figure in Italian politics that can match her personality and her ability to present herself as a strong leader. I think that we live in a time where personalities are a big part of party politics. It's not anymore ideology or values so much. It's much more about the personality itself. So as long as we will not have in Italy, but I think we can apply the same kind of reasoning at the European level and in general to other European countries. As long as we will not have personalities from, let's say, the liberal, progressive part of the political spectrum matching the political strength that these right-wing politicians are expressing at the domestic and at the international level, it will be really difficult for Italy and Europe to change direction. I think that she will probably stay until 2027. I think she has quite some possibilities to be re-elected. And at least at the moment, I don't really see the possibility for a change or radical change in Italian politics and in European politics at the moment. After, as I said, we never know what will happen in the future, but I think this is the direction we are heading to.
Great. And I think that is a great conclusion to our episode. Nicola, thank you so much for answering my questions. You did great, and I'm sure that our listeners are going to have a fantastic time listening to you, likely from here on out. Before Nicola takes over as full host, we will be holding a series of podcast episodes delivered by our partnership with IE University in Spain, and we will be hearing from several students who joined RIA this summer to research a climate leader. So stay tuned to learn about all of the different ways that environmental and climate change policy manifests depending on who is advocating for it. Once again, thank you, Nicola. This was a great episode about Giorgia Meloni and the Mattei plan. I encourage all of you to go read the article that Nicola wrote. You can find it at riotgroup.org. And while you're there, make sure to read more articles and stay tuned for any more that come out. Thank you for listening. Share the episode if you liked it, and we'll see you next time.